Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 2, and today we're going to be starting verse number 20, which says, "For ye are our glory and joy." So here we have the Apostle Paul speaking to this assembly in Thessalonica, and he's connecting the thoughts of what he's been laying out here as he's been speaking to these individuals, talking about the different things of where they are as members of the body of Christ, and giving them information that they're going to need, and laying out, you know, the issues of the day of Christ. And so now he's going to be speaking about who they are as these saints and relating to the ministry that he has been carrying out with them. Now, we know when we talk about the Apostle Paul's ministry, we can see how he describes it in Ephesians chapter number 3. When we read here in verse number 9, which says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." And how Paul, as he describes this idea of making all men see the fellowship of the mystery, that issue of seeing the fellowship of the mystery really comes into two parts, you know, following in with how Paul lays out that whole issue of what the will of God is. When he says over in his epistle to Timothy, when he describes this, "For it's God's will that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth," and how that first part of the mystery that Paul's trying to have individuals see is the issue of people receiving the salvation that you find in Paul's epistles. The gospel message for today, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to scriptures, and how someone puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. That's the issue of to make all men see as part of you know that God wants all men to be saved. But that second part goes into the issue of individuals coming unto the knowledge of the truth, understanding what it is that is laid out in Paul's epistles and Romans through Philemon, the doctrine that is given to us today. And that's what, as Paul, you know, speaks to these individuals, he's giving them this information so that way they can be functioning in the manner that God wants them to be functioning. So when he's speaking of them and saying, "For ye," he's speaking about every single individual who is in this assembly. We've looked at how he keeps holding them up as the ensample for other members of the body of Christ. You see that, for example, we looked at how in verse number 13 of this same chapter, when Paul lays out and says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth, the word of God which effectually worketh also in you that believe." And how Paul looks at them, sees how it is that they have been handling the information that Paul has been giving them, that they've received everything that Paul has laid out and consider it as the word of God which has been given to them. So when Paul can talk about them, says, "For ye," and looking at them as this truly functioning members of the body of Christ that they are. And that's why he can call them the glory and joy that they actually are. When he says, for ye are our, he's speaking about, you know, not only for himself, but also for Silas and Timothy, who have been writing this epistle with him. And we looked at it way back at the very beginning of our study of this epistle, where in verse 1 of chapter 1, it lays out and says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And how it's the three of them functioning together, writing this epistle, speaking unto these saints that they had been ministering to and giving them the information that they needed. And when you really look and think about, you know, Paul's time there over back in the book of Acts, and you see how Paul ministered with these individuals for three Sabbath days. So he was there for 3 weeks giving them information. And after that time, and when he's writing to them now, seeing who they are, seeing as they are functioning in this manner, he can call them, he says, for ye are our glory and joy. And Paul can see them functioning in this manner. And you compare that to how he writes unto other assemblies and where they're at. For example, if we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, we'll see how Paul identifies what he's saying related to this assembly. This is assembly that you can see how he sees all these strifes and divisions that are among them. And as he's writing to them, and yes, he's giving them doctrinal information, but you see how, in comparison to calling them a glory and joy, as he describes the church in Thessalonica, you see in chapter number 3, we're going to read the first few verses here of chapter number 3 in 1 Corinthians. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. And as individuals study this passage, they focus so much on the idea of the strife, the divisions. They'll start talking about Paul and Apollos and, you know, what message it was that they were speaking unto them. But they really skip over the idea of how Paul's speaking of them when he's calling them carnal, that he also identifies them as being babes in Christ. That in their spiritual life, that they're really still at the beginning and really trying to understand the very basics of what the message actually is, to the point of where, as he's describing them, and you read verse 2, we'll read that one again, when it says, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So he's talking about first the point of when he was actually there ministering to them, carrying out, you know, giving them the information that they needed. He says that he was giving them milk and not meat because they weren't able to bear the meat. They weren't able to deal with, you know, some of the more advanced things that they will need to understand at a later point in time. He's saying that they're not ready yet. They're not spiritually mature enough to be able to deal with those things. But he takes it even that further step when he says, neither yet now are ye able. So what Paul's telling them is, as he's even writing this epistle to them, that they're still not able to bear the things that are identified as being the meat of the doctrine. And if they're not able to bear it as he's writing this, then what Paul is truly identifying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2, is that the whole epistle that's being given here to the assembly in Corinth is dealing with the things that are identified as being milk. He's dealing with the basics with them because they're not able to be able to handle the other things that an assembly like in Thessalonica, who was receiving the things as being the word of God, that they were able to handle those things. So that's why he's able to get into a discussion about the details of the day of Christ. And you compare that to when you actually read the epistle to Corinth, that you see that Paul just tells him, yes, there's going to be an event. He gives him no information related to the timing, no information related to any of those details. Just kind of says, yes, it's going to happen, and ties it in with, you know, this is a body that you're going to receive, because they're not able to handle those things. They're not being able to look at as saying that they're his glory and joy. Now, when you actually look at that idea and Paul saying that they're his glory, not only his glory, but also the glory of Silas and Timothy, you know, that almost seems to be a contradictory thought compared to what he writes to the assembly in Galatia. If we go over to Galatians chapter number 6 for a moment, we're going to see Paul say something to these individuals here. And we're going to read verse number 14 of Galatians chapter number 6, which says, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, Paul, as he's writing to these individuals, and this is an assembly that had really backed away from some of the ideas of what the grace of God actually was. They were starting to try to put themselves under a performance-based system because individuals were coming in and telling them that they needed to do things in order to earn and maintain their salvation. And so they're going off and doing those things. Paul's having to write to them saying, you need to avoid all those things. You need to stop doing that. He even says at one point that he's afraid of them because of this. And as he closes out this epistle, he says that the only thing that he could glory in was the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was accomplished on the cross of Calvary? How the law was nailed to the cross. How the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ took care of the issue of sin. And our trust in what he did is what gives us the gift of eternal life. You know, those are the things that Paul can say that he can glory in with it. And yet he's saying that he calls these saints over in Thessalonica the issue of his glory. Now, the goal of every believer should be related to the issues of the practical sanctification that Paul's epistles identify for us. Now, when we talk about those things, you know, we have justification because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did. We have a positional sanctification of where we are identified in Christ because of what he did. Now, positionally, that's who we are. Now, practically, if we're following what the Word of God actually says to us, rightly divided, following the doctrine that we find in Romans through Philemon, that we would become more and more conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what is intended for us. That's why Paul can talk about what is supposed to happen related to who we are as the members of the body of Christ. If we go over to Romans chapter number 12 for a moment, we see what Paul's going to say here to this assembly at Rome. And here in Romans chapter number 12, we're going to read the first two verses of the chapter here. So Romans chapter 12, starting here at verse number 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so as Paul talks about what the responsibility of a member of the body of Christ is that we would present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and we do this as we have the transformation, the renewing of our mind occurring. And this is what happens as we talk about that practical sanctification of an individual, is that a person is taking the doctrine in, taking the information that we find starting in Romans chapter number 1 verse 1, ending with the very last verse in the book of Philemon. So all the information that's been given to us by the Apostle Paul, we take that information in, we apply it to our lives. The Spirit is teaching us those things because we are saved. And as it occurs, the renewing of the mind happens for that individual. And as that's occurring, and that renewing of the mind is going on, what ends up happening is a person starts doing the things more and more that would be laid out exactly with what the doctrine actually says, and that we would be the followers, as Paul says, follow me as I followed Christ. And that's the goal of every member of the body of Christ, is to be having that happen. And as it occurs, and we have that renewing of the mind occurring, the things that are of this world start to be pushed out of who we are. Now, our problem always is that we walk around in these fleshly bodies. The flesh still has an impact on who we are in our life. Now, there's times where we do the right thing, allow the doctrine to work through us, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ living out of us doing those things. You know, and that's where, as Paul can look at it, he would be saying that that's a glory that comes from that. And then there's the times when we do the wrong things and we don't allow the Lord Jesus Christ to live out of us. And what ends up happening is, instead of it being the doctrine which is having the impact on things, we're allowing the things of who we are in the flesh, which is already looked at as being dead in the eyes of God, we allow that to have the impact on who we are and how we're functioning in this world. And as we allow for that to happen, we are no longer allowing the Lord Jesus Christ to live through us. And that's what's going to lead to the things that are not pleasing unto God. And Paul, as he looked at individuals, he could identify them in saying that they were his glory because of what it was that they were doing. And you see how he describes some of the individuals that he encounters that are a part of his ministry. And we're going to look at one of them right now. Let's go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul is going to describe Timothy here as he's writing this epistle unto him. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, we're going to read here the first two verses of the chapter. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. So as Paul describes Timothy, you see him describe him as my own son in the faith. He is holding him to this highly esteemed position, identifying him as a son in the faith, which means that Paul had gone and preached unto him, given him some information, identifying him as a son. Part of that, as you see how Paul, if we looked over in Galatians, you'd see how he would talk about the household of faith, and they were to be doing good unto all men. And he says, especially unto the household of faith, that Timothy would be part of that household of faith, identified as my son, and identified in a manner so when Paul actually can describe him to other individuals. If we go over to Philippians chapter number 2 and see how he's going to describe Timothy unto the saints in Philippi. And we're going to read in Philippians 2 verses 19 and 20, which says, but I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, you see how Paul is holding Timothy up in this manner to where he can actually say that, you know, I have no man like-minded. So in Paul's eyes, that Timothy was having the exact same mind. When Paul identifies us, we have the mind of Christ. You know, we have that mind of Christ because we have the Word of God. And he's saying that Timothy has that same understanding of the Word of God, rightly divided, to the point of where he can be looked at as being like-minded with the Apostle Paul, to where he could send him in to deal with these saints, send him in his place and say, you know what, I know that you're going to receive the exact same things as if it was me, because this individual, Timothy, is like-minded as I am. And by being able to say that, it was truly a glorious thing to be able to say this. Now, we're going to look at, next time, a couple other examples that Paul lays out of this in his epistles. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday messages. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook, and how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments, about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting a good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.